you know, starting with a dad who wanted to show his son how to bake a ham. No, 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 Dad, don't worry. I got it right here on Google. I got it my own way. You know, because how many of us know years ago, that's what us kids used to do in the old days. We'd ask mom and dad to kind of show us the way, but that's kind of disappeared because now, today, kids don't need us as much because they have Google to show them what to do. And then second part of that story I love where the guy is carving the turkey and all of a sudden one of the girls interrupts, oh, no, 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 look, one of my friend's dad's carving a turkey. I love that family. So many people's lives are interrupted by what's on the phone. You know, so many people and so many things are interrupted and distracting people from life by what's on the phone and what's on social media that they never really see. And this morning as we get into our text, our topic today is called At Our Table. And all of us this morning have our own table. Some of us in life, we have multiple tables. In our houses, we have more than one table, and that's okay. When we have many different things on our tables, we have so many great things, so many not great things on our tables. But this morning, the one table that we're going to talk about, we all have one specific table. And the question is what do we allow at our table? What do we allow at our table? With that, we're going to jump into the text, Matthew chapter 25. We're going to start at verse 14. Matthew 25, starting at verse 14. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave five bags of silver to one and two bags of silver to another, one bag of silver to the last, dividing in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. The servant who received five bags of silver began to invest the money, and he earned five more. Good job. The servant with two bags of silver also went to work and earned two more. Verse 18. But the servant who received one bag of silver dug a hole in the ground, hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip, called them together to give an account of how they'd use the money. So verse 20, the servant whom he had entrusted the five bags of silver came forward with five more and said, Master, you gave me five bags of silver to invest, and I earned you five more. Master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I'm going to give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. Verse 22. The servant who had received two bags of silver came forward and said, Master, you gave me two bags of silver to invest, and I've earned two more. And the master said, Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I'm going to give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. Then the servant, verse 24, with one bag of silver came forward and said, Master, I know you're a harsh, mean man. Harvesting crops you didn't plant, gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I'd lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back. And the master replied, You wicked, lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and I gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least you would have gotten some interest back on it. And then he ordered, Take the money from this servant and give it to the one with 10 bags of silver. To those, verse 29, to those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. John 10:10. We've heard this verse. We love this verse. Thief's purpose, steal, kill, destroy. Satan, his boys, their purpose, steal, kill, destroy. Jesus said, My purpose, though, is to give you a rich and satisfying life. And so this morning, before we break down our main text, we live in a world, we live in a time where everyone, and for a long time, everyone has tried to define what a rich and satisfying life looks like. What a rich and satisfying life looks like. For many, at a young age, they were taught, you go to school, you get a job, or you go to college. If you get a job, you work your way up, you get promoted, you make lots of money, you have a family, you have kids, you put a little away, and one day you die, and boom, life is so beautiful. For those who go to college, you spend years learning and studying a trade or something that's going to help you become a better person so that on a piece of paper it says you have accomplished this one thing. And then after graduating college, you hopefully find a job. You make some money. You get married. You have kids. There are so many different voices today trying to find what a rich, satisfying life. And I don't want to think about a rich life for a second. I want to think about a satisfying life. Because honestly, every single person on this planet, this is one of the number one things that guides us, that leads us. A satisfied life. To be satisfied. To be fully satisfied. To know, happy, full of peace. You know, having a life that is full of peace brings healing to the body. Other things that are negative in life bring cancer to our bones. There are so many voices defining today. This is the path to life. Let's just think about a few things this morning that people think brings happiness. Number one would be money. How many people say, I just can't wait to get rich. I can't wait to have enough money for this. How many rich, unhappy, satisfied people do we know on our planet? There are a lot of them. How many people, once I get money, once I get this, everything's going to be fine, thank you, God. And then they get it, and then their life crumbles apart. How many people, young people, the minute I get married and I have 25 kids, life will be perfect, everything will be wonderful, it's going to be Prince Charming and Sleeping Beauty, we're going to live together forever. But how many we know that in our world today, how many marriages have crumbled and fall apart? Because it wasn't marriage, it wasn't money that was the one thing that answers all problems. How many professional athletes, kids, told and barked at by parents, you gotta do this, you gotta do this, you gotta do this. Listening to parents who scream at their kids because they want them to make it to be a professional athlete. But how many kids grow up, become professional athletes? Did that solve all their hopes and dreams and peace? No. There's a lot of unhappy professional athletes. Why is it so many of us spend our days, moments, and times focusing on things that do not make us happy? But that's what we're being told. Many of us, like a used car salespeople, and there's a lot of them out there that are every single day in our head, this is what you need. This is what makes you happy. This is you. The spirit of the Antichrist constantly lying and putting things in our head who will try, you know, the spirit of the Antichrist, the lies to say, this is you. This is what you need. You need to put yourself above this situation. You need to put yourself above this person. So many people, so many of us distracted, chasing, looking, wanting, yet many still ending up in an empty, empty, empty place. You know, the Word of God this morning, it's not just a book to read, but it's something to soak in. The Word of God is not something just to look at it as a book. It's it's the Bible. It's a book. It has stories. It has people who are real. These things happened. But the most important thing when you see the Word of God is understand God is asking me to put all of these things into practice. God's asking me to put the Word of God into practice. Doesn't mean this morning that we're all perfect. We all make mistakes. There's times where we are not forgiving, we're bitter, we're angry, we're lost, we lose our sight. But we get back up again and we choose to follow after. So as we dive into our text this morning, Jesus describes a story. And he called him a master, but he's really just the boss. And who's the boss? God. He's the creator. He's the Savior, and he's the boss. And what did Jesus say that the boss does, the creator? He gives out talents, bags of money. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. We'll take a bag. But he gives out money, give out talents, and it goes beyond money, resources, and abilities based upon what every person can handle. To every single thing that God downloaded into our systems. God, everything that God downloaded into our brain, our heart, our mind. And so it is all based on one thing. I'm giving you what you can handle. And why did God do this? So that not one of us could say, I can't do that, God, I'm too overwhelmed. God gives every one of us exactly what we can handle. Now, sometimes we take what he's given to us and we blow it out of proportion. We make it way too crazy. Because how many of us know, people, we love drama. We love drama mama, right? Just how it is. Every single one of us, and in this story, we're given an amount given to what each person can handle. So we know that there was a person given 5 bags of silver. There was a person given 2 bags of silver. And there was a man given 1 bag of silver. It says that it is the master, the boss, the creator gave him this money. He says, I want you to do something with this. And I want to come back. I want to see what you did. But you know what happened? The boss got delayed. The boss was late. He said, I'll be back next Friday. But you know what? Next Friday came and went, and the boss wasn't there. What happens to our human brains when we're waiting for somebody and they don't show up? What happens in our human minds when we are waiting for someone or something and they don't show up? Well, one of the things I love about that worship song, Silence, is because how many people are waiting in the silence? And so many people feel that they're waiting in darkness for God to answer, and it doesn't seem like it is. But to remind ourselves, God is here, even though I don't see it, even though I don't hear him, even though I don't feel God in this moment. God, I will worship in the silence. I'm going to keep believing in the silence. While we wait as humans, something happens to us. Think about school for a minute. When there was a substitute teacher, whether it's a cute teacher or a cute, handsome guy, how many people took advantage of substitute teachers? I know we sure did. We did spitballs. We called them names. We did. Maybe it was just my group of kids in age. I don't know. But we used to harass substitute teachers. How about when the boss is gone and somebody steps in to be the boss for a day? How many people will take advantage of time? How many people will take advantage of the job because the boss isn't watching? Which is becoming harder to do because with electronics, man, they are watching us 24/7. But for some reason in our human mind, when we think somebody's not watching, or we think that the delay and when waiting for someone and they're taking too long, it does something to our brains. And Jesus defines this point of pain in us, and he says people do 2 things. There was guys who took the money and they doubled it. And to understand this moment, it was simple to double money. It was simple because at the temple, at the church, was a place where bankers were there. People who had money were there. You brought it. You could give it to them, and they would pay you interest based on the money that they would hold for you. It was so easy to make money. If you had money, whether it was big or little, and you went to the temple on this day, you could easily get back. There was no risk. Can you believe it? No risk. Just bring my money to the church, put it at the table, and they're going to take care of it, and they're going to pay me on top of it. And so the task that was given to these 3 guys, the task, the hand that was given was simple. It was so easy. Let's go to church, give it to the bankers. Man, they're going to double. They're going to double the money. Jesus described a point of pain. While you wait for me, will you be faithful for me until the very end? While you're waiting in the silence, when you're waiting in frustration, while you're waiting for provision, while you're waiting for healing, while you're waiting for an answer, will you always be faithful to me to the very end? And there was 2 servants in this story that were described as being faithful until the very end. Matthew 24:37, Jesus said, when the Son of Man returns, it's going to be like it was in Noah's day. In those days before the flood, people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings right up to the time Noah entered his boat. And if we were to pause right there, I believe with all my heart, we are in a season, in a period of the end. What does it look like? Just like it did in Noah's days. What were people doing in Noah's day? They were busy. Banquets, eating, Thanksgiving parties, weddings. Let's get married and have more weddings and more kids. People were so extremely busy that they neglected who the Creator was because they were just enjoying life. And so verse 39, Jesus said, people don't realize what's going to happen until the flood came and swept them all away. That's the way it's going to be when the Son of Man comes. Two people will be working together. One's going to be taken. The other's going to be left. Two women will be grinding flour at the mill. One will be taken. The other left. So you too must keep watch, for you don't know what day your Lord is coming. And so one of the number one things that Jesus tells in the story about the parable of the talents and the silver of gold is in your point of pain, in your point of frustration, in your point of being hopeless and lost, in your point of being celebrating. We like to celebrate as people. Life is good. Everything is great. So no matter where we are in the spectrum of life, we continue to be faithful to the plan and what He's given us until the very, very end, knowing that my life, I'm here to serve God Almighty. Jesus said, you too must keep watch. You do not know what day your Lord is coming. Understand this. If a homeowner knew exactly when the burglar was coming, he would keep watch and not permit his house to be broken into. You must also be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. And how do we be ready? We be ready like the two men in the story. I take what God gives me, and I'm going to use it to the fullest. Whatever God has put into my life, I'm going to use it to the fullest. And then on the other side of the coin, because how many of us know on a quarter, on a dime, a nickel, a penny, it's always two sides to a coin. There was one guy. They all three knew how simple the job was, but there was one guy who said, no matter how easy this job is, I ain't gonna do it. I don't want to. I can't. I won't. No matter what God asked me to do, I don't care how simple it seems. I don't care. I can't. I won't. I'm not. Can't, I won't, I'm not. He took the money, the bag of silver that was given to him. He buried it, put it on the ground. Remember, he could have taken it to the church, could have given it to the bankers. He would have collected his interest. He would have had something for his boss. But he elected, I'd rather ignore what's being asked of me. I'd rather be rebellious towards my boss and to what the other two people did. Because maybe I'm angry. Maybe I'm frustrated. Maybe I'm hurt. Maybe I'm bitter. Really, honestly, maybe I'm guilty of committing bad things. So instead of facing and doing what I'm supposed to, I'm just going to bury it in the ground. You know, when the boss came back, what's interesting enough, he starts accusing his boss. Well, you're a mean person. You're a horrible person. You do things you're not supposed to do. And so we really see the heart of the man who didn't want to do what he was asked to do. And what was the very first thing he started to do? He started to accuse somebody else. He started to accuse somebody else. And he said, listen, you're a mean man. And when Jesus said this is when all the people listening, they paused. Because you don't talk to your master or your boss this way. And so everybody in the story is a little shocked by the response of this one person, because he's angry, he's bitter, he's mean, and he's taking it out on the person who's financially paying him and taking care of him. And so he plays the blame game. He plays the blame game. And then he says mean things to his boss. But you know what he accuses the boss of? Having no character. He was the one who didn't want to do the job, Oh, but it's the boss that has no character. He was the one who looked around and saw the other two guys. They hurried up and they got the job done and they made big money. Oh, but it's not him. It's not him. It's the other guy. It's the boss. How many of us have ever had someone we do not like to work for? How many of us have ever been around someone that we don't like to be around? The man in the story, for whatever reason, he was put into a situation that Jesus describes. He did not like the situation. He did not like the people. And so he accused his boss and said, "You have a lack of character," while ignoring, "Maybe it's me who has the lack of character." You know, many of us this morning, we know that as we look into the mirror, we see a glimpse of ourselves. The Bible is actually called the mirror as well. And so as you look into the Bible, you should see a glimpse of you. And sometimes when we look into the Bible, how many of us have heard maybe a text or a story and we're thinking, "Oh man, I got to share this, you know, with my cousin, or I got to share with my brother, my sister, you know, they're going to hell and I need to tell them." You know, sometimes people, as we see the Word of God, what we do with the Word of God is we want to point out in everybody else the things that maybe is wrong in their life. Sometimes when we read the Word of God, sometimes when we hear something in church, sometimes when we see something, it's like, "Oh, I need to point this out." How many of us know that sometimes when you live with people, sometimes it's easy to point out in other people what we don't like, but all the while, like this man in this story, we're ignoring, honestly, the things that we don't like in ourselves. This man in the story, he insulted his boss and he shocked the audience of every single person who was listening, because he ignored, nor did he confess and say one point, "I'm sorry." So as we look at this text this morning, what are the things that God wants to remind us, to teach us, to learn, to listen? Understand this: God has given every single one of us on this planet life, the ability, talent, the ability to choose freely what you do every single day. To understand that He is coming back one day and we all have to give an account with what we did with our life. One of the greatest things to understand, yes, we may have 70, 80, 90, 100, 120 years on this planet. No matter our days on this planet, whenever you close your eyes, we will give an account. How did I spend my life for God? What did I do with the things that God put me here on this planet to do? The story in the book of talents is described as accountability. It's accountability to understand. It's not being accountable to a person, but understanding one day you will give an account for your life. I give an account for my life. God's coming back one day, and we all will be giving an account. Number three, to understand, I have to live a life that is ready at all times for the return of Jesus. No matter what I do in the night, no matter what I do in the day, no matter where I go, no matter where I am, He's put me here to be ready 24/7 to meet Him. The main part of this text is to describe and to paint a picture of a man who wanted to play life safe. I need to party hard. I need to play it safe. I'm a little fearful. I'm a little guilty. I have a lot of shame. I've said too many bad words. Maybe I'm a little lazy. Yeah, I have hate, anger in my heart. Too much jealousy. Maybe there's too much lust in my life. So many things, like this one man in the story, that stopped him from being the person, the man, that God made him to be. Is there anything this morning that stops us from being the man or woman that God has made us to be? Is there anything in us that stops us, that aggravates us, that distracts us from being who God made us to be? We know that as God gave them a task and bags of silver, God gives us a task every single day. Simple as it was then, simple as it is now, to reflect who He is, to tell the world who Jesus is in this story, to serve people, to sacrifice for people, to give, to love, to represent the kingdom above God. in the main line apart this is above all else. Does God understand we have a life? Absolutely. Does God understand some of us, we need to work and have jobs and pay bills so what we can have food at what? At our table. God understands all that. God understands that we live in a 24-hour time frame system. 24 hours today. Today's November 24th, 2024. We live within the confines of time, and God gets that. But the question becomes, do I make the most of my time at my table? Do I make the most of my time at the table? Am I putting the kingdom of heaven above my life, above the kingdom of myself? My table here, I've got a lot of fun things. This week we just celebrate Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving. You know, in the Thanksgiving time, there's families who play board games. This one's Goonies. Woo! Goonies board game. Yes, this week people will get together. There'll be families who get together and they're going to play board games. There's going to be people who get together and they're going to play card games. Might even be some poker or solitaire. Who knows what they're going to play. But they're going to get together. They're going to play something. Uno. 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 You know. There's going to be people who get together and say, you know what? I don't want to play any games. I'm just going to read a book. Leadership Pain. Yeah, that sounds interesting. Or maybe I'm going to read a book on money. The Total Money Makeover. I need to learn how to deal with my money. Or maybe the Book of Mysteries. Ooh, we love. How many of us love here a good mystery? Yes. People gather together this week for so many different things and so many different reasons. Some it will be to play games. Some it's going to be, I'm just going to hide away and read a book. And for other people, let's get some food in our system. I didn't want to bring out a turkey this morning, nor did I have time to. So I brought other essential things that are just as important as turkey. Tortilla chips are just as important as turkey, so I brought some of those. Some veggie chips were extremely, extremely important. How about some pasta, rotini, gluten-free? That should be in everybody's. And the most important ingredient that we all need this week is, how about some popcorn? What we said at our table this week really describes a lot of who we are. The things that we put out, the things that we do during the holidays, the things that we talk about with family and friends, what we spend most of our time doing this week and on the holiday, it describes at our table what is extremely the most important to us. So for some people, you know what's become most important to us? Food. There are people who have food, and we all need it to live. We all need it to go in. We all need it to go out. Food is extremely important to us as people. But for some people, food has become more important than anyone else in my life. At my table, food is extremely important. I need it. I want it. Food, food, food. You know, for some people, how many of us know that as kids, man, we love to play games? How many of us used to play hide and go seek? How many of us used to love to chase down our friends? We would hide, we would seek, and we played games. And then as people got older in junior high, how many kids do we know they played games? You know, they started finding, hey, she's kind of cute. He's kind of cute too. And so the kids in junior high start playing games, and they start playing games with each other. They would date three different guys and break up with three different guys and three different girls and on and on and on. Some people playing a board game, playing a card game, playing with their friends. They've never really grown up and become a real adult. And many adults today, playing the game of life to them is more important than anything else. If you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you back. It's a competition. I'm out to win it, and I'm going to take you down. There are people today, life is still a game. They've never grown up to understand what life is fully about. And so for them, life is a game. And at their table, they are playing the game of life. And who's running that game of life? Himself. And then you have other people. Knowledge. At my table, knowledge is supreme. Knowledge is power. It's what I know in my head. The Bible talks about, you know what, too much knowledge really puffs a person up. Jesus even said to the religious people, he says, you study the Bible, you study the law because you think it's going to get you into heaven. Jesus said, you study this, but no matter how much you've studied, guess who it points to? Jesus said, it points to me, and you miss me every single day. Some people spend their life reading. They're going to read from Genesis to Revelation. They're going to study, and they're going to understand it. But you know what? They still have a hard time treating people with love and respect and kindness. No matter how much we know, if we don't have love, it absolutely means nothing. Isn't that what Apostle Paul said? Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, the chapter of love. Love is amazing. He says, doesn't matter if you have all the faith in the world. Doesn't matter what you say and what you do. If you have love, it means nothing. If you have all the knowledge of the world, you know how to save money. You know how to deal with pain. You know how to deal with hard, dark secrets and mysteries of life. No matter how much knowledge you have, if you don't have love, it doesn't mean a thing. And at our table this week, this is Thanksgiving week, Thursday, Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving again. Question becomes, how have I set my table for this week? How have I set my table for this week? And what are the things that are really most important to me at my table? Because what I put at my table describes the kind of person who I am. Everything that I put on my table, everything that I do with my time, my space, whether I'm playing games or I'm eating or I'm snacking and I gotta have popcorn and then I gotta have chips and then I gotta have more popcorn and then I need to sit down and I need to have tea and a book and then I need to have coffee and more book and then I'm gonna play some more games. I'm gonna get on my phone because I need to get on my phone and spend a lot of time on my phone. What are the things that are important to us at our table? We know that it's 24 hours in a day. If we were to think for a second, let's say that we slept 9 hours out of 24. I know all of us would be a different kind of person if we got really good at 9 hours of sleep, you know, a day, right? But if you were, let's just say, take on average 24 hours in a day, 9 hours of sleep, that's 15 hours of being awake, 900 minutes, 54,000 seconds. And at the end of the day, if we have 900 minutes a day, at least, if we have 54,000 seconds a day, are we spending our time being thankful for what God's provided? Or are we choosing to ignore what God has brought right in front of us? Where does being thankful start? Where does being thankful come from? Our very first text that we opened up with this morning, David described, God is my creator. I belong to him. To understand thankfulness, to give thanks, it begins with understanding I have a creator, I have a God. And so God, every single day with my 54,000 seconds, with my 900 minutes, God, I'm going to give you thanks. Because if we don't give thanks, you know what happens to our hearts? If we're not thankful people, if we don't see good in other people and all we see is bad, if we're not thankful for what God has put in our life, and if we're not thankful what God has put in your life, if we're not thankful people, you know what we start to do? We dwell on the negative, dark things in this planet. How do we cause change? How do we move and cause change at our table? It starts by being thankful. The writer of Psalms said, I enter the door of God. I start moving towards God's temple. I start moving towards the presence of God. By how? By being thankful. Thankfulness changes the scene. Thankfulness changes the mood. Being thankful and giving thanks, it changes our table. When I understand, I could eat a whole bag of chips, but maybe if I just stop and pause and say, God, thank you for what you've given to me. God, I can take this. I can eat it all. God, I can think that I provide all these things for myself and my table. God, but maybe if I just stop and realize you have provided for me. Today is November 24th, 2024. Do you know that 24 in the Bible means divine order and completeness? 24 in the Bible points to the perfection through God's work. The 24, number 24, points to the perfection through God's work and God's hand. And so today, as we get ready to wrap up and close, what a beautiful day and what a beautiful week, because it's the day that we set aside to be thanks, to give thanks. You know, the first Thanksgiving was 1578. Often, people celebrated days of prayer for blessing, asking for military victory and abundant harvests. 1621 was the Pilgrims' first feast, a three-day feast of deer, corn, shellfish. Sounds yummy. Singing, dancing, games. 1623, they had a religious Thanksgiving because there was a drought that destroyed most of their crops. Thanksgiving is being celebrated for a long, long time and for many different reasons. But really, at the end of the day, the question becomes, why do I give thanks? Who do I give thanks to? And what's at my table? Because I'm going to set my table. Maybe china, maybe plastic, because I want to throw it away and I don't have to do the dishes. Certain foods that I love to eat, because it's a day I can eat and not feel guilty. Certain things that I'm going to spend my time doing. But every single thing that we do, it describes the reflection of our heart. As 24 represents divine order, to understand that there is an order to life. God gives us 24 hours a day, gives us 9 hours of sleep. To those who get that, 900 minutes in a day and 54,000 seconds. Time is precious. Not sleep. Sleep is precious, but time is precious because it matters what we do with our time. Our text today was a story of three men, two men who heard what the boss asked them to do, and it was simple, it was easy, and so they doubled what was given to them, and God said, because you're faithful with this, I'm going to be faithful to give you more. And then we turn to the last guy, whether he was jealous that they were given more money. And how many people that are on our planet who have very little, and they're jealous of people who have more? How many guys and girls are jealous of other people because it appears that their marriages are more happy? How many people look on magazines and I wish I had this and I wish I had that? How many people dying for the food they see on TV and I wish I had the money for that TV and I wish I had the money for that house and I wish I had the money for that car and I wish I had more money and I wish I had this? The one guy, I know he had to be a little jealous because they were given at least double or five times the amount of what he was given. And how many of us have spent our time in life jealous of other people because it looks like from the outside they just have more? And how many people on our planet, like the one, angry and bitter and start blaming people for our unhappiness? The guy in the story who had one, he blamed his boss. And how many people are blaming God because life hasn't worked out the way it should have? I should be in a different spot. I should be in a different state. I should be on Hawaii on the beach right now. I could be the president. I could be this. I could be that. But maybe this morning God's asking us to be happy with the one that he's given to every one of us. Philippians 4:11 says, not that I was ever in need, because I've learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing. or with everything, I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's with a full stomach, empty, plenty, or little. I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. In 1 Timothy 6:7, our closing verse, says, after all, we brought nothing with us when we came into this world, and we can't take anything with us when we leave. If we have enough for food and clothing, let us be content. People who long to be rich fall into temptation and trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, craving money, wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. Oh, that wouldn't happen to me. You know how many poor people have said, that wouldn't happen to me if you gave me money? And then they get money, and then they end up in trouble. If God's made us, and he said, you know what? You're getting one bag of silver. Are we happy with the one bag that he's given to us? Are you happy with the life full of content with what you have? God says you're not going to get an ounce or a drop more until you start taking advantage of what I have given to you. You're not going to get anything more until you start being happy and content with what you have in front of you. And when you start using what's been given, when you start making and blooming and make beautiful and work harder for the one thing I give you, God says, then I will be faithful to give you more. We can't complain about what we have and don't have when we're not taking time to make sure what we do have. God, I'm happy with every single thing you've given me. God, I don't know what's coming next, but I'm happy with what's in front of me in this situation. I don't have maybe all that I would like. God, but I'm going to choose to be happy with my one. I'm going to choose to be happy with this. I'm going to choose to be happy and content by giving thanks. This Thanksgiving, God encourages us, life is about learning to be thankful. And whether we have a lot or whether we have a little, to understand no matter what God has given to every one of us, we'll never find what we're looking for unless we're thankful for what we have. Let's pray.